The church is losing her voice in this present age. I want you to see the book of Acts and also 1 John. The two portions of scripture, just to give you an understanding, that there is a demand and a call for us to trumpet aloud who our God is. But unfortunately, we are not seeing it happening. But the scripture says this. In Acts 2:40, says, with many other words, he warned them and he pleaded with them. Save yourselves from this corrupt generation. He warned them and he pleaded with them. There is a call for the church of Jesus Christ to release the voice that needs to be heard in our society. 1 John chapter 5, verse 16, 19. He says, if you see any brother or sister commit a sin that does not lead to death, you should pray and God will give them life. You should pray. Why are we emphasizing so much for the church to get down on their knees to pray? Because in every prayer, there is the voice of God that fills the air and the atmosphere. And I pray that the church of Jesus Christ will face the time of awakening in this time, in this world. The sacred moral code is dissipating because they have dismissed what morality is by justifying their own personal act and say it is not wrong. The wrong has become right and right has become wrong. Looking at Christianity by nature is countercultural, but today our modern Christianity is coexisting with the world. And what the world prescribes is been taken by the Church of Jesus Christ. In Australia, evidently, because they have a cultural shift, moving away from the Christian heritage into a complete denial of spiritual need. Not only a cultural shift, but we also see a shift in attitudes. We are shifting from the sanctity of life. As you and I read the paper, they are trying to show you there is another phase of life in terms of the nature of family, in terms of the institution of marriage, and we have lost the care of truth in private and in public life. Why? Because they have nullified God's involvement. They push God away and refuse to have his involvement. Are you with me? They are also denying moral accountability. Today, they decided to move out from that insistence for moral accountability. Therefore, we are seeing conflict between Christian worldview and modern secularism. I want you to know, secularism is a political choice. And therefore, we are facing the tentacles of secularism in our society. Christian worldview have been attacked and assaulted by all these secularist and humanistic crowd. They are baying, they are bucking, they are howling, they are clamoring, and they are yelling for blood to abandon justice and seek authorities to give them, the howlers, what they want. And that is exactly what we are seeing today. The more I see them, the more I discover Christian values have been affected. Christian values not only being affected, but also have been replaced. Just as much in the 16th century and 17th century, we hear about the Enlightenment and Reformation. But today, they are trying to dismiss and replace it by selfish and self-interest attitude. The church's true vocation and mission is now being a question because they have lost the influence and also the impact upon the society. It is very much confirmed way back during Jeremiah's time. Please look at the scripture here. Jeremiah chapter 2, and verse 21. Yet I have planted you a noble vine, wholly a ripe seed. How then are you turned into the degenerate plant of a strange vine to me? You are planted as a church that has the power of God to do and work on his mandate. But why is it today you have degenerated into a strange church that no one could recognize anymore? It's simply because there is a spiritual deterioration. And it did not come at once. It came little by little. You gradually hear the tone of the voice in the church is changing. It's more about themselves, more about their name, rather than the name of Jesus. Prayers are depleting. Callousness are beginning to take shape. Church is very prone to enjoy life, but for God to be empowered by the Holy Spirit. Therefore, I begin to see one element of truth. The identity of the church has been switched. Once they were warm, that now become cold. Once they were cordial, but now they become distant. Once they were affectionate for the gospel, but now become indifferent. I am concerned as I read more of this news. J.I. Packer says what Jesus said, watch and pray. Let us be careful lest while we slumber, the enemy take an advantage over us. It is important to know this. Church must return as the conduit of God's voice. Somebody agree with me. The church must return as the conduit of God's voice. There's a lot of wrong in the church today. We have seen compromises. We have seen churches supporting immoralities such as the homosexualism and lesbianism. Modern church have lost the enlightenment. Instead, they emphasize their entertainment. Contemporary church is emphasizing more on the personalities rather than Jesus Christ. I'm afraid we have lost our voice, the voice on the Almighty God. I wish and I pray that we will all arise and know that the book of Psalms, such as Psalms 145, verse 3 to 6, he says this, the psalmist he written this in such a fabulous way. He says, great is the Lord and most worthy of praise. His greatness no one can fathom. One generation commends your works to another. They tell of your mighty acts. They speak of your glorious splendor, of your majesty, and I will meditate on your wonderful works. They tell of the power of your awesome work, and I will proclaim your mighty deeds. Psalms 145 tells us it is time that the church must arise and declare and proclaim who the Almighty God is. This is the situation that we are in. If you are excited for Jesus, come on. Can I hear one more? And amen. Give him praise. The loss of the church voice is very much due to the lack of understanding about the church history. But I'm so glad Paul stated for us. He says, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Yes, the church is weak. Yes, the church is not up to where God wants it to be. But the grace and the power of God are available. And the church must realize they do not function by themselves, but they can look up and say, your grace is sufficient for me. Evidently, we've seen the early churches, the Galatian church, they have left the grace of the old school legalism. They work on legalistic law. The Ephesians were very quick to lose their first love. The Laodiceans, they were lukewarm. The Corinthians, oh my, there's so much to talk about the Corinthians. But you know what? The Lord has shown us how weak they are, yet God used every single church to arise. You see, church, Paul knew something about the truth here. As you look at the next slide, and pastor seems to miss that often. What you win people with is what you win people to. If you are desperate to win people with just about everything or anything except the gospel, the Bible, and the covenant commitment, then they will be led to, just for a short moment of time, they will lose their faith to the world easily. I'm afraid that the Church of Jesus Christ need to come back and look into the scripture again and again. And I must say, the church today needs praying people to meet the fearful crisis. The church today needs praying people. The voice begins with prayer. The voice begins when the people bring out the prayer requests, the petitions. Their voice articulate their cry to God to intervene, to fight for them and to fight in the battle. I do not know what you may be thinking, but I read the book written by E.M. Bounds, and it says the business of praying is to be learned in on the posture called your knees. We can only pray with the right posture. And with that, I saw in the book of Acts something that interests me in regards to the voice of God, that he is calling the church to lift up and to live well, to seek his face, because our life is at war. You can always talk about the consequence of what took place in the politics, in the society, in the country. We can talk about all the problems, but no one prays. Nothing is going to happen. We have heard enough of a problem, and I think our voice is not to declare the problem, but our voice is to declare the Almighty God. I pray that the book of Acts chapter 4 will help you and help me, and we were going to look at that situation, because Acts chapter 4 verse 24 onwards to verse 30, this is the most inspiring prayer in the scripture, as I would consider. Peter and John was arrested for preaching the resurrected Christ. And after that, he had brought healing on the crippled man, and they were held and arrested and was in prison. But the moment they were released, they went back to their fellow brethren. And Acts chapter 4 verse 24 and 30 says this. Let me read to you the scripture from 24 to verse 30. When they heard these, they raised their voices together in prayer to God. Sovereign Lord, they said, you made the heavens and the earth and the sea and everything in them. You spoke by the Holy Spirit through the mouth of your servant, your father David. Why do the nations rage and the peoples plot in vain? The kings of the earth rise up and the rulers band together against the Lord and against his anointed one. Verse 27. Indeed, Herod and Pontius Pilate met together with the Gentiles and the people of Israel in the city to conspire against your holy servant Jesus, whom you anointed. They did what your power and will had decided beforehand should happen. Now, Lord, consider their threats and enable your servants to speak your word with great boldness. Can somebody say amen? And verse 30 says, stretch out your hand to heal and perform signs and wonders through the name of your holy servant Jesus. What a powerful prayer. The prayer that we're going to learn today is going to help you to change your mind and help you to take every bold step to face your challenges. Listen, brothers and sisters, Satan is all out. to stop and to stifle any fiery church. Listen to me one more time. Satan is all out to bring division, lethargy, and bring the church to a point lacking prayer. You know what actually destroyed the church? It's not because they do not know. It's because they are lazy. Are you with me? We focus on our past. We focus on our present. But we forgot that God has a future for us. The enemy tries to dampen that fire. And Charles Spurgeon once said, and he said it beautifully, allow me to quote to you, open quote, to put new converts into most churches is like putting live chicks under a dead hen. I pray today that you will notice everyone can come to the house of God, but not everyone is growing in the Lord. I want to pray that you will rise up and have a voice that will be articulated in this divine moved prayer. And firstly, as you look at the passage that we just read, verse 24 to 30, number one, I want you to notice that they were so moved by the prayer, they began to look unto the Lord. Pray to God who made. They prayed to God who made. The believers lifted up their voices together to the living God. And they declare and openly confess, this is the sovereign Lord who made the heavens and the earth and the sea and everything in them. All you theologians sitting right here will say, what's a big deal? I already knew that this is Almighty God who is the creator. But the passage gives me a very different mind, a different message here. It is not about him just only a creator, but the prayer that lifted up is to assure them they are not praying to anybody else. They are praying to the Almighty God who is able to create. And he laid the foundation. He laid the assurance. He laid the surety upon your life that you can trust, you can believe in him, and you can lift up your voice and say, this is the creator who can destroy the works of the enemy. Are you praying to him? Are you praying to him with confidence? Are you expecting God to answer the prayer with power? Do you see the solid foundation where your faith is resting on? What sort of prayers are we praying today? Are we praying with a defeated prayer? Or are we praying to the living God who says all things are possible? Whom are you praying? Their prayers are focusing on God's glory. Their prayers are focusing on God's kingdom. You see, a lot of us today, we are afraid when we look at the circumstances. We pray with a trembling knees. But the Lord says, you are not praying about the circumstances. You are praying to the Almighty God. Who is he to you? Do you know whom are you praying to today? Do you know whom are you seeking right now? Do you know whom you are trusting? Are you going to look at your circumstances and say, Father, I am having this difficult time. I do not know what to do. I'm afraid, God, I'm afraid. But the Lord says, look unto me. I am the sovereign King. I am the Lord of Lords. I am the King of Kings. I am the bread of life. I am your provider. I am your sustainer. I will see you through because we are praying to the Almighty God. This is the God that we are praying to. We are not praying to anybody else. And secondly, he prayed with what God spoke. I say that one more time. He prayed with what God spoke. The scripture says he spoke by the Holy Spirit through the mouth of his servant, your father David. And he declared, David declared, why do the nations rage and the people plot in vain? The kings of the earth rise up and the rulers band together against the Lord and against his anointed one. Indeed, Herod and Pontius Pilate met together with the Gentiles and the people of Israel in this city to conspire against your holy servant Jesus, whom you anointed. I discovered this passage that when they were praying, they were echoing the book of Psalms, chapter 2, verse 1 to 2. They were praying that scripture that was written by the psalmist. And as they were praying, they were articulating what they were doing. They were telling the Lord, the opposition is not a new development. Nothing new, my friend. Nothing new. Nothing new for your politician to collapse. Nothing new. Because in this world, there is no permanency. Oh, brothers and sisters, the wickedness of humanity is not a recent development. We know that. That's why the people, when they prayed, despite the adversities, despite the opposition, Lord, the prayers will continue. They will pray because they believe that God is far greater than all these oppositions. Prayers will help you to see your circumstances according to the word. Many a time we look at our circumstances, but we are looking from the perspective of a human nature, but we don't see it from the word of God. And that's why we become afraid and disappointed, or maybe depressed over many situations. If you don't see your circumstances according to the word of God, by having these circumstances becomes illogical. We become confused. We have to learn and look at the circumstances according to the scriptures. When the man like you and like me, when we have a tragic disappointment and we don't see it from God's word, we are tempted to conclude our life. Do you know what I'm talking about? That's why a lot of depressed situations taking their lives according to their whims and fancies. Why? Because they're looking according to their emotion, but not according to the word of God. We need to see from God's word. You know what happened to Elijah? When he starts seeing the situation according to his perspective and not God's perspective. In fact, the Bible tells us very clearly, he lost the sunshine of joy after beating the Baal prophets. And he was very much obscured in that vision by the cloud of perplexity and complexity. And he started to run and he started to faint spiritually and cried out to God and said, "Let me die. Let me die." That's what Elijah did. But brothers and sisters, I have good news. Your circumstances should never be looked upon by your emotion or your own humanistic ideas. It should always be placed against the word of God. Are you there with me? Even if you say, "I have yet achieved my goal," place it against the word of the living God. And you will see the power of God's revelation. I pray with all my heart today for you, that you will pray the word of God into your situation. Have the scripture within your spirit and pray into the situation. Some of you, you pray like as though God doesn't know his scripture, because you quoted the scripture for him. He doesn't need you to quote the scripture for him. He needs you to use the scripture under his authority and into the situation. Are you with me? So whatever sickness, whatever diseases, hey, let's walk. Let's walk together. Let's see what the word of the Lord is saying, what the Spirit of the Lord is doing. Come on, let's hold hands together. And if there is a need, we know God wants to preserve you. God wants to extend your life. Yes, he will do what he will do because of his promise. And so we declare his promise into that person's life. Leonard, if God wants to extend your life, that is what he's going to do. You declare that word into your life. It's not about somebody who says, my dad is very sick. My dad is, I'm not too sure. You know, medically he does it. Yes, medically, that's what they say. Come on, get out of that. Do something right. Get the word of God and speak into your life every day. Speak into your situation in Jesus' name. I believe God wants to do miracles in everybody's life here. Are you there? I do not know what your goals and your ambition whatsoever. As long as in God's will, I want you to know, speak those words into the situation. Are you here with me? Verse 27, look at the slide. Indeed, Herod and Pontius Pilate met together. You know why the scripture was written that way? Because they were identifying Jesus' adversaries. Herod, Pilate, the Romans, and the Jews. And they all gang up to fight against Jesus. And they crucified him. You know, when those guys were praying and they lifted up the voice to the heavenly throne and they voiced out these words, why did they voice out, Herod, Pilate, what has to do with their desire to do God's work? What he's trying to say is this: these guys have ganged up to stop Jesus Christ, crucify him. I want you to know the good news. God has raised up Jesus Christ from the dead, and your enemy is defeated. Whatever they think they can stop, they are taken away. Are you with me? So when you pray the scripture, you know that this God is a God of possibilities. When the enemy has tried to defeat Jesus, the enemy will try to defeat you. But Jesus lives in us. Somebody say amen. Oh, no longer I live, but Christ who lives in me. And you need to know that. And when you begin to arise, you speak those words. Yes, Lord, the enemy tried to stifle my work. The enemy tried to destroy my work. The enemy tried to destroy my family. Arise in Jesus' name. He has done that with Jesus, but he was defeated. And now the resurrection is the evidence. Are you praying to the same God that I'm praying? The enemy is a sure defeated foe. My question is, where is your victorious voice? Do you believe that God has a plan for your life? Come on. Do you believe? Only five people I hear their voice saying, yes. Do you believe that God has a plan for your life? And are you speaking those words into your life? If you know God has a plan, you speak those words. Listen to me very carefully. As much as I say you speak those words, you need to live by those words. Hey, the word of God is not a magic, all right? It's not for you to take that and just speak it when you are not living with the word. If you're living opposite, don't expect whatever you speak going to come true. God wants you to speak and live with it. If you believe that God is faithful, then live, become faithful. And God will do that amazing work. Where is the victorious voice in the church? Is the church victorious? Is the church victorious? Is the church victorious? Then lift up your voice and give him praise. At least 1-2 seconds, come on. Give him praise in Jesus' name. I challenge you on the third part. Pray by submitting to God's will. If you look at the scripture in verse 28, they did what your power and will had decided beforehand should happen. You see, because they saw their circumstances in the light of God's word, they also recognized that the enemy of Jesus cannot do whatever they want without God's permission. Are you with me? So when I pray, I know that Peter and John were arrested, but hey, nothing happens without God's permission. So you may say, but Pastor, I'm going through a tough time. Hey, you know what? God has allowed that for you. You know why? Because sometimes the problem started by your stupidity. Not by the enemy, by the way. You can go back and say, in the name of Jesus, I want to paralyze the enemy. You can say all you want, but it's your stupidity. You know what should be done? Father, forgive me. I repent. That should be the prayer. Isn't it true? So you see, we prayed as much as we know. Nothing happens without God's permission. No one can scheme without God's knowledge. Man, in their futility, has schemed against God. But the people of God foresaw their scheming. And they have made a choice. When they prayed to submit to God's will. Wicked man had never really been in control, by the way. It only appears as though they are in control. But it is God who is in control. His course, his plan is perfect. That's why Peter and John had that faith in the Lord of history and the Lord Almighty. Why? Because ultimately, God is the one who has the perfect plan. for his people, for his church, and for this world. So what should I do then? The prayer of the disciples is to pray to submit to the will of the Father. I pray today that you will not just run away and say, Lord, it's difficult, you don't understand. You know, I'm going through, you seems not to be doing anything. But the Lord is waiting. He's waiting for his children to pray, to submit to his will. We keep talking about, oh, there's nothing can be done. Oh, there's so much problem. Submit to his will. Nothing happened without God's permission. And that is when you will walk in that journey of his perfection, not yours. His perfection. And lastly, which is my favorite, just like durian, you take the best durian and eat the last. Amen? You don't eat the beginning. You always eat the last. Those who don't love durian, you need to be prayed for. We exported durian so much to China. So you see, durian is the fruit for Chinese. Amen? I hear Jonathan's voice right now. He say amen to durian, but never say amen to the word. Praise the Lord. The last one is that they prayed to be empowered by God. And now, Lord, look upon their threats and grant your servants to continue to speak your word and with all boldness, while you stretch out your hand and heal, and signs and wonders are performed through the name of your holy servant, Jesus. I want you to know that disciples did not pray to remove the Red Sea. The disciples pray to walk through the Red Sea. They did not pray, God, take away my circumstances or change my circumstances. They prayed, God, Lord, you help me to walk through my circumstances. They say the word, look upon their threats and grant your servant to continue. Yes, we have been arrested, but help us not to stop the preaching of God's word, but grant me the strength to walk through and to continue the preaching of your word. Never ask God to put your enemies out of office, but pray that God will help you to walk through that office and declare in the mighty name of Jesus. They ask God to empower them to make the best use of their circumstances. I do not know what sort of circumstances you have, but God says, make the best of your circumstances because the victory is even greater. The disciples prayed where their voices could be heard. They wanted to be faithful and see the gospel go forward. They ask for steadfastness, they ask for signs, and they ask for the wonders to be performed. They ask for things that will lead more confrontation and not less. We oftentimes say, please, Lord, take away the guy who is the pain to my back, to my anatomy. Please take him away, but the Lord did not. He's still in the world. You're going to see him somewhere in Glen Waverly one day. You're going to see him in Knox Mall one day. He will be there. What should you do? The Lord never asks us to pray to remove them, but to walk through and face more confrontation. I like what Philip Brooks says, quote, do not pray for easy lives, instead pray to be stronger men and women. Are you with me? And not only that, this is the beautiful one that I loved so much, and I realize this is what we all need to do. Do not pray for tasks equal to your powers, but pray for powers equal to your tasks. And I trust and I pray that all of us should be praying today, Lord, I am going through the challenge, but God, you will help me, you will empower me to face my challenge. God never asks you to remove the problem, God asks you to be empowered to face your problem. That is why the believers pray, stretch out your hand to heal and perform signs and wonders through the name of the Holy Servant Jesus. How many of you know that you and I have the name of Jesus Christ? The name above every other name. The name has the power to destroy the enemy and all diseases. Somebody said, amen. So give him all praise and glory for the wonderful name, the name called Jesus. And so he said, stretch our hands. You know why? Because the disciples are expecting something to happen. You and I, when you come to the house of God, you should not be praying and say, Lord, I do not know what to do, but I'm just here seeking for your favor to rest upon me. But the Lord says, no, you don't pray for the favor. You pray to stretch out your hands because the favor is in me. My grace is in me. My mercy is in me. And God says, stretch out your hand and reach out to him and say, Lord, I know it can be done, but I need you to stretch your hand and do this work in my life. I have stretched, Lord. I have stretched, but I'm not getting there yet, but you need to stretch your hand towards me, Father, and empower me to do the work. I am expecting something to happen. I'm expecting whatever skin disease that can be erased in Jesus' name. Are you there? Are you there? Because the Lord touched the leper. Are you there? Did you see the word of God? Oh, you are not excited yet. Okay, let's get on. Let's get on. Let's get on. They are expecting. They are expecting. They are not praying and saying, we do not know what to do. No, they are expecting. They pray. They believe that it can happen. Oh, brothers and sisters, these are the optimists and not the pessimists. Their request is threefold. You can see that in verse 29 and verse 30. That God will be mindful of their situation. And God have them preach with courage, not with fear. The kingdom of God is not about fear. It's about power. It's about love. Sound mind. And we say the kingdom of God is within me, but we still live in fear. Think about that. And when you start praying, you pray, God work visibly with signs and wonders. Many of us are praying for signs, but we are still wondering. We pray for signs, and we're still wondering, where is the sign? The Lord says you pray for signs and wonders. That means pray for his splendor to come. If you have all that, why are we not reaching out and voicing out the gospel to the people? These guys did not pray for vengeance, but they pray for miracle of mercy. I pray that the house of God here will pray for miracle of mercy, because the society needs the miracle of mercy. The disciples have addressed to God, who is the God of creation, revelation, and history. And they prayed out loud, give us the boldness, give us the courage, Lord, that we will continue to preach the word. As much as these people are baying and howling and barking for injustice, I declare that by the power of the Holy Spirit, in the name of Jesus, the enemy must be paralyzed. That's what we want to pray for. So let us rise up and understand the truth. And you know what? The Bible did not end there. After they prayed, the evidence and the result of their prayer was found in verse 31. And verse 31 says, after they prayed, what happened? The place where they were meeting was shaken. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word of God boldly. The place was shaken. I do not know what you know or what you think. But in my heart, this nation needs to be shaken. We will not see it shaken until the people of God begin to pray, until the voice of God is heard. We have to pray until God's voice is declared loud and clear. I will tell of your mighty deeds. I will declare from generation to generation, from my children to the grandchildren, But with all this generation to generation, we can declare. We need to declare boldly, helping them to be reshaped and shaped for the glory of Jesus Christ. That they have the boldness even to speak to their friends that Jesus is my Lord. It's not about come to my church, come to my church. Come. Tell the friend, Jesus is my Lord. There is a need for us to go in with the same authority that God has given to us. Because the kingdom of God is within me. The place needs to be shaken. Your family needs to be shaken. Your children need to be shaken. Your office needs to be shaken. Oh, brothers and sisters, if you have problems in the office, pray. Pray until the voice of God is heard. And then the place will be shaken. You know what the Bible says? Not only that the place was shaken, they were filled with the Holy Spirit. And then they spoke the word of God boldly. We need you to get out to the field to talk to somebody and bring them to Jesus Christ. That's what we need. That's what we need. The moment I say that, everybody's so quiet. Isn't it? When I say God is going to bless you, everybody say amen. When I say get out into the field, bring somebody to Jesus Christ. Oops. You know why? Because you're still living in fear. You need to get down on your knees and pray. And pray until the voice of God is heard. That's what I'm doing. Pray until the voice of God is heard. The disciples focus on their prayer and their faithful proclamation. The voice of God did not fade because of their prayer. Will this church continue to embark and grow in the prayer heart and say, Father, it's time for revival. This land needs to be shaken. Is the church ready to pray? Amen. And I'm going to stay back and pray with you. Because you know what? The church has lost its voice. But this church must bring it back. Are you with me? This church, are you ready to do that? Are you ready to commit yourself and do that and pray and bring the voice of God back into the house of the Lord that the community will hear? You know, when I walk outside to this church and these guys were having the music practice, I could literally hear from outside. Hallelujah. Can you guys play even louder? So that those people who have their children playing soccer, they can hear even better. You know, yeah, back in Malaysia, they put the megaphone outside, you know. And we can sing praises to the Lord. Hallelujah. So guys, pray louder. Amen. Pray louder. Because God's voice needs to be heard. So I'm asking you today, give yourself to it. Let this church declare loud and clear that the voice of God can be heard. Somebody say, amen. Come on, give Him praise and glory. Hallelujah.
You've been listening to Pastor Calvin Sim from Life Solutions Christian Church. For more information, please feel free to contact us by phone on 0410-985-432 or find us online at www.lifesolution.org.au.